And of course, that's the theme of our Christmas sermon series titled, The Best Christmas Ever, in His Presence, Even Without Presents. The only means that we could truly have the best Christmas ever is when we realize that when we are in the, or where we are in the presence of God. I remembered many Christmases, that my family and I, and even our extended family, will always go on vacation on Christmas times, or we'll eat in a fancy restaurants on Christmas time, or we'll do our regular gift exchanges, and yet we would return home feeling empty, not having that joy that we wanted to have, until we realize that only in the presence of God we can experience the best Christmas ever. And that's again the theme of our sermon series. And one of the ways that we can be in the presence of God, as we learned last Sunday, is by searching for the King. Have you been searching for the King this Christmas season? As we learn from the Magi, or the wise men, when they have searched the King and found the King, they experienced this tremendous amount of joy. Look at Luke 2:10 and 11. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. So when they realized that they found the newborn King, that they are in the presence of the newborn King, they have this exceedingly great joy. In other words, they have this unspeakable joy, this unexplainable joy, this indescribable joy, or we could say it this way, they have the joy to the 100th power. Remember back in the math times when you put number one on your paper and you put many, many, many zeros? That's what you call the 100th power. And so they have that joy to the 100th power. Just like this just joy of this six-year-old Billy. Billy was so joyful on Christmas Day, and his grandmother noticed his joyfulness. So the grandmother asked Billy, "Did you get everything you wanted for Christmas, Billy?" Billy replied, "No, I did not, Grandma." Now, Grandma was puzzled. Now, how could that be? You are so joyful. If you did not, why are you so happy? Billy answered, "Because I got presents, and it's not even my birthday." Praise the Lord. Have you been searching for the King this Christmas season? You see, the only means that we can truly have the best Christmas ever is by being in the presence of God. And also we learned last Sunday that if we are in the search mode for the King this Christmas season, it begins by getting back in the Word. In other words, by doing our quiet time, by having a time alone with God in His Word, reading His Word and studying His Word and meditating on His Word, being alone with God without our cell phones, without the computer, without any other thing but our Bible, a notebook and a pen, ready to hear from the Word of God. So how's your quiet time this past week? How's your quiet time this past week? How's your time alone with God this past week? But perhaps you're saying, "Well, really, I have sought the King and I have found Him, and so I have this joy." Then you're thinking, "And I do have the joy, but I don't know, Pastor, I feel like there's still something missing. I have searched for the King, found the King, knew that I'm in His presence, because His name is Emmanuel, God with us, so He's with me, and I know I'm in His presence, and yet I feel like something is still missing." What would that be? Perhaps it's not the searching for the King that would make your Christmas the best Christmas ever. Perhaps it's not searching for the King. Perhaps it is obeying the King. So maybe for you to have the best Christmas ever, maybe you should obey God or consider obeying God in this one thing. There's this one thing every Christmas season that God would love for you to do for Him. What would that be? Let's learn from Joseph how he obeyed the king on that first Christmas and how he was greatly blessed by God for his obedience. So if you have a copy of the Bible, turn to Matthew, to the Gospel of Matthew, and we're going to read chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. If you're using the church Bible, it's page 681. And in reverence to the reading of the Word of God, let's turn to Matthew 1, 24 and 25. But other passages we're going to read later on, but we're just going to stick with these two verses here. Verse 24, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. You may be seated. Now let's look at the story behind the verses that we read. As we know, this was the time when Joseph was engaged to marry Mary. So in other words, they're about to get married when Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant. And so because of that, he knew that he is not the father of the baby that Mary was carrying, so he wanted to leave her. Now at that time, that night, when he was contemplating and thinking about leaving or divorcing Mary, he had a dream that night. The angel of the Lord spoke to him in a dream saying, do not leave her, do not abandon her, because the baby in her womb is from the Holy Spirit. And so therefore, stay with her and take her as your wife. Now, did Joseph did what the angel of the Lord commanded him? Well, look at verse 24. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Now, this was not the first time that Joseph obeyed God. Time and time again, as I would show you in the scripture, that Joseph was always willing to obey the king. For instance, if you turn to Matthew 2, it's the same book, turn to verses 13 through 15. Matthew 2, 13 through 15, and look at what it says there. When they had gone, the Magi, this was the time, as we learned last week, the Magi left, went back to their homes after searching and finding the newborn king. Now they left, and the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. And he commanded him, get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. Now, what did Joseph do? He got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod, and so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. You see that in Hosea. So here you see that Joseph obeyed the king again. But his obedience did not end there. Go to verses 19 and 21. Look at the continuation of the story. Matthew 2, 19 through 21. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. What did Joseph do? So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. So notice that Joseph obeyed the king again. But wait, there's more. Look at verses 22 and 23. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So what's fulfilled, what was said through the prophets, he will be called a Nazarene. So Joseph obeyed the king once again. It's not just a one-time deal of obeying God and then be done and over with, but he obeyed God time and time again. And as a result, God greatly blessed him. How so? Look at verse 25. 125, the verse that we read. What's the blessing there? Look at the blessing. Look at verse 25. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. What's the blessing? He get to name God. Have you ever thought? He gave God a name. What a blessing. I mean, if you are a parent, one of the greatest blessings of being a parent is being able to name our child. Like, for instance, my firstborn, Samantha, Irene was able or gave her that name. Samantha, which means the listener. And she is. But I get to name our second child, Andrea, which means masculine. Certainly not so Andy, because she's so feminine. She loves pink. She loves makeup and even nail polish. But the blessing of being able to name your child and that they would grow up being called that name because you as a parent named your child. And here, what a blessing, isn't it? Joseph named God. God's name is Jesus. But not only that, look at the other blessing in the verses that we read. For instance, in Matthew 2, 14 and 15. Remember, so he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And watch this now. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. And another blessing that God used Joseph to be the primary tool, to be the primary instrument to fulfill scriptures. Think about that. In other words, prophecies became realities through him. What a blessing. Same thing in verses 22 and 23 of chapter 2. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, he, Jesus, will be called a Nazarene. God used Joseph and blessed him. Not only that he gets to name God, he was able to fulfill scriptures, or God used him to accomplish and fulfill the prophecies, and they all become realities. What a blessing. When we obey God, God wants to bless us immensely, but it starts with us obeying the King. What's at stake this Christmas is that if you want God to bless you with the best Christmas ever, it begins by us obeying the King. How obedient are we to the King? Now, you're probably thinking right now, there's so many things that the Bible tells us that we have to obey God. Well, God doesn't expect you to obey every single one of them. However, this Christmas season, there is one thing. There is always one thing that God is commanding you to do this Christmas season. What would that be? And would you obey God in accomplishing and obeying Him to fulfill scriptures through your obedience to Him? Now, notice here in the obedience of Joseph, there were three similarities here. There are three similarities in all of Joseph's obedience. Go back to Matthew 1, 24. Notice that here, he obeyed God intuitively. Look at that verse. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Not, what does intuitively mean? It means automatically. It means naturally. In other words, when the angel of the Lord commanded Joseph, he intuitively, he automatically, he naturally obeyed God. He did not have to think about it. He did not have to think over it. He did not have to ponder it. He did not have to contemplate about it. He obeyed God automatically. Look at what it says. He did. He did what the Lord commanded him. Why? Because the Lord said so. What is that one thing that God wants you to do this Christmas that you must obey Him intuitively, automatically, naturally? Why? Because the Lord said so. Joseph obeyed God intuitively, automatically. Why? Because the Lord said so. Unlike King Naaman, or rather Captain Naaman. Captain Naaman was the captain of the army. You see that story in 2 Kings 5 in the Old Testament. Now, Captain Naaman was a great warrior. The Bible described him as a brave and courageous warrior. Yet there is one problem with him. What's that? He was a leper. He had leprosy. So now God wanted to bless him. God wanted to heal him. So he commanded his prophet Elisha to tell him, if you would dip yourself in the Jordan River 7 times, you would be cured. Now the only problem then was this. Jordan River back then was filthy. It was poop filled. It was disgusting. And so instead of obeying God intuitively, automatically, because here's the healing from your leprosy, if you will just dip yourself in the Jordan River, instead of doing so, he thought about it. He fussed about it, and then he was enraged by it. As a matter of fact, look at what he said in 2 Kings 5:12. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Could not I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went off in a rage. He was upset. I mean, think about it. Why not in the water of Abana, cleaner? Or in the waters of Pharpar, which is cleaner? Why Jordan River? It's filthy. I don't like it there. So his leprosy was prolonged. Instead of being blessed by God instantly, it delayed his healing. Why? He did not obey God automatically, intuitively. But of course, we know the story. Eventually, Captain Naaman obeyed God. He dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan River, and he was healed. Now, what is God commanding you to do this Christmas season? What is that one thing God wants you to obey him this Christmas season? Are you going to obey him intuitively? Are you going to obey him naturally? Or are you going to delay it and therefore delay the blessings of God in your life and therefore delaying your best Christmas ever? But notice also another similarity here is this. Joseph obeyed God immediately. Joseph obeyed God immediately. In other words, right away, without hesitation, without delay. No time to spare. Look at verse 24. When Joseph woke up, he did. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Joseph obeyed God immediately, and he was pretty consistent in obeying God immediately, because in the previous stories, remember, the angel of the Lord commanded him, go to Egypt, because Herod is going to kill your baby. What did he do? He did. He took his family down to Egypt. 2 years later, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. This time, he tells him, go back now to the land of Israel because Herod is dead. Now, think about that for a second. But wait a second. If I'm Joseph, wait a second. Why would I do that? I lived in Egypt now. We got our green cards here now in Egypt. I have my carpentry business going on. We have a nice house with a nice backyard. Why would I go back to the land of Israel? But did he question God? No, he did not. He obeyed him immediately. And look at verses 21 through 23. Notice that the angel of the Lord, when he got to the land of Israel, I said, okay, well, I'm familiar with Judah, so I'm from here, so that's cool. But no, within days, the angel of the Lord said, now go back up north. What? More walking, more traveling? Yeah, you're south, you're in south now, go up to Galilee. Did he fuss about it? Did he question God about it? No, he obeyed God immediately. He obeyed God immediately, as we see in the story. Remember back in September and October when we had our disciple-making initiative? And remember how one Sunday I asked you to write the name of that person you want to share your faith with? And we got an index card and we wrote down names. Now, one of the names I wrote down in my index card was the name Lee. Now, Lee was my coworker. Now, he's a young man. He just recently married, no kids yet, but he's just in his late 20s, a young man. And so ever since that time, I've been praying for him, and God was telling me, share your faith. This is now the time. Share your faith. Tell him your story. Tell him your testimony. Now, did I obey God immediately? No. Yeah, embarrassingly, shamefully telling you that. Did I obey God immediately? No. I mulled on that. I thought of it first. I made some justification why it would not work. and make all sorts of excuses why it's not going to work. So in other words, I did not obey God immediately. And guess what? Instead of receiving the blessing of God, I suffered. How so? Every time I see him, I feel so convicted inside. Every time I see him, I feel so guilty inside. Every time I see him, I feel so shameful that I am disobeying God in my heart. Why? Because God is commanding me this Christmas season, share your faith with Lee. But Joseph was different. He obeyed God immediately, and therefore God blessed him immensely. So let's not delay our obedience to God. Let's do it now. And then thirdly, look at verse 24 again. He obeyed God instantly. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him. That means God, he obeyed God instantly. In other words, just like Nike, remember Nike's theme? Just do it. In other words, he did not again think about it. He did not worry about it. He did not fuss about it. He instantly obeyed God. In other words, he simply followed. He simply obeyed him. Just do it. There's a Christian coach, or was a Christian coach in the NFL several years ago, and his name is Tony Dungy. He was the former coach of the Indianapolis Colts. He is a born-again Christian, just like you and me. Now, he is now the NFL commentator for NBC, and from time to time, he would also go to churches to share his testimony. Now, when I attended one of his conferences, one of the things that he said was this. In his players, or with his players, every time they would make a mistake on the field, they would come back on the sidelines. For instance, the quarterback would throw an interception, or the running back would fumble the ball, or the defensive person would blow a coverage. So they would come back. These players will come to him to the sidelines, and they would explain themselves why they commit that error, why they made the mistake. And Tony Dungy said this, and I would never listen to them. Instead, I will tell them this. No more excuses, just execute. No more excuses, just execute. Now think about that for a second. That's exactly what Joseph did. No more excuses, just execute. What is that one thing? What is that one thing that God is commanding you to do this Christmas season? Once again, he doesn't expect you to obey the word from beginning to end to the T this Christmas season. But there is one thing. There is one thing that God is going to ask you to obey him this Christmas season. Are you going to obey him? So you know what's interesting? What's interesting is this. Jesus is the only one who celebrates a birthday every year and yet never gets a present. Jesus is the only one who celebrates his birthday, and we celebrate with him, and yet he never gets a single present. Now, you may argue, well, of course, he's God. He knows everything. He owns everything. He has everything. What does he need? He doesn't need anything. Yes, he does. There's one gift. One gift. There's one gift that Jesus loves to have every Christmas. You know what that is? You know what that is? Obedience. There is one thing that God wants you to obey him this Christmas season as your present to him. Would you do it for him? And so I promised God last Thursday, God, if you open every single door at work about Lee, then I would share my faith with him. I promised him that last Thursday in my quiet time. So on that Thursday, I went to work. When I entered our PT office, no one was there. Highly unusual, because there are other therapists who would come to work earlier than me. But I got there at 8 o'clock, not a single soul in our PT office. So as I normally do, I went to my desk, I turned on my computer, and guess who entered the PT office within moments? Lee. And of all the desks there in the PT office, and we have a pretty good sized PT office, there are so many desks there and so many computers, guess where he decided to sit on? Right next to me. Now my heart then was this. I know exactly what God is doing. And so when I offered him, Lee, would you like to have lunch with me today? Guess who said and willingly said yes? Lee. So we met in one of the cafeterias there at my work, and we're eating lunch, and I begin to share my testimony, my faith story. And guess who prayed to receive Jesus in the cafeteria on Thursday? Lee. Praise the Lord. And guess who is so willing to be discipled from here on? Lee. And you know what Lee said? You know what Lee said to me? You're not going to believe this. I've been searching for the last 2 years about God. I just don't know who to talk to. And with his eyes tearing up, he said this to me. You're God sent. You're God sent. We parted our ways. Went his way, I went my way. But I was so joyful. The first thing I did, I called Irene. I said, guess what? Remember, we prayed for Lee. Lee prayed to receive Jesus in his heart in the cafeteria with all so many people watching us. Praise the Lord. I was so thrilled. I was so joyful. That afternoon, I didn't care about the difficult patients I had. I was just so joyful. You know, I was so joyful, extremely joyful. I decided to buy flowers and chocolates to Irene that afternoon. And I went home and I gave her the flowers and chocolates and I told her, Happy No Occasion Day. Because why? I was just so joyful. That night, I got a call from Dorian. I told Dorian. And I was telling Dorian how joyful I was that I have led someone to the Lord and I obeyed him, that my present to Jesus is a soul this Christmas season. I was just so joyful. I was so joyful. I was extremely joyful. My joy was to the 100th power. I was so joyful. Why? Not only that I was able to lead someone to Christ, but more importantly, I was able to do that one thing this Christmas season that God wants me to obey him and do. How about you? What's that one thing? Just one thing. Not 100 things. Just one thing that God wants you to do this Christmas season. As your gift to him. Because if you would ask me right now, would I have the best Christmas ever this year? My answer to you is this. I already have. And it's not even Christmas Day yet. Think about that. What is that one thing? Perhaps that one thing is forgive. There's this one person that you have not forgiven for many, many years, and you're bitter about that person. You hate that person. Perhaps God is telling you right now, forgive. Make that your gift to me. Forgive. Or maybe that one thing is give generously. Maybe in Christmas past you've been so stingy and you don't want to share your money, but this time God is convicting you. Give generously to a nonprofit organization, to a shelter, or to your church. What is it? Or maybe God wants you to be faithful to him. Or maybe the one thing that God wants you to do is like me, reach out to someone, tell your story to someone. That's your gift to me. Well, what is it? What is it? Or maybe God is calling you to ministry. But you've been saying no, no, no. Maybe God is calling you to serve him in a ministerial capacity. But you've been telling him, God, no, 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 no. But what you're doing is this. You're withholding his blessing in your life. Because you disobey him, you're not able to have the best Christmas ever, thinking that if I find that one thing, I will be so joyful. When the truth is, you don't have to find that one thing. All you need is the King and to be in the presence of the King so you can experience his joy. What's that one thing? What's that one thing that God wants you to obey Him this season? What is that one thing that God wants you to do for Him? I pray that you would choose to obey King Jesus, because after all, Jesus is the reason for the season. Let's pray. Perhaps God is leading you right now to, with just sampling soft music,